This evening, take your Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we will look at verses 12 to 15 to begin with. We'll look at some of the other verses in the chapter as well. And we're looking at our theme for the year of reaching forth. It's easy to get comfortable. I don't think there's any of us that don't like to get comfortable. A night when it's cold, like tonight, it would have been comfortable to stay home. My flesh said, "Just wouldn't it be nice just to stay home? Why go out in the cold and everything? It's nice and warm here, obviously, and that's great, but we like to be comfortable. You know, it's easy to get comfortable even when we are in the right place doing the right thing. It's easy to get comfortable. And we get comfortable in church. We get comfortable in our Christian life, and we get comfortable even doing the right things. And it's good to do the right things, but to get comfortable in them isn't where we're supposed to stay. According to our theme for this year, according to the verse of Scripture we'll look at tonight, it's not our place just to stay stagnant and just to get comfortable and to get lulled into a particular place. You know, the Christian life is not a destination, really. It's a journey. It's traveling. Now, I know we become a Christian on an instant basis when we receive Christ as our Savior. I'm not saying it takes a long time to become a Christian, but I'm saying the Christian life itself, from salvation to eternity, is a journey. It's not a destination, it's a journey. It's a process of spiritual maturity. We go from being a babe in Christ to hopefully a mature Christian, and ultimately we will be mature Christians when we come before the Lord. It's going from lack of knowledge of spiritual things to a greater and greater and greater knowledge of spiritual things as we advance in the Christian life, because that's the way God designed it to be. Although this journey will not lead to perfection until we reach heaven, we are to be growing and we are to be reaching forth until such time as we meet the Lord face to face. Somebody said that Bible study is not complete until we meet the author face to face. Right? Then it'll be complete. Then we'll know and we'll be in the presence of the Lord. And it's my prayer, obviously, as we think of this theme for this year, as I prayerfully ask the Lord to direct in our thoughts for a theme. And obviously themes aren't a necessity. You don't have to have a theme for a year. We've had many years where we haven't had. But it's a good thing to have something as a goal, to have something to aim for. Somebody said if you don't have a goal, if you don't aim for something, you'll hit it every time. Right? There's nothing to aim for. So this is set as a goal, a desire, an objective to get to, as a church, to reach forth, to grow in our faith, to grow in knowledge, to grow in our service for the Lord. And so I believe that according to the verses surrounding the verse for the year here in Philippians 3, there are three things at least that are entailed in that process of reaching forth. And that is forgetting, following, and faith. And that's what we're going to look at in the message tonight. So we'll begin reading at Philippians 3, verse 12. And it says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you that we can open your word tonight. I pray that these verses that may be familiar to some of us, verses that we may have memorized some of them along the way of life, but this evening I pray that you speak to our hearts through them. May we realize that you have something for us to learn from the message tonight. And that's why we're here, is to hear from you, to grow in our faith, to help us to live this year in a greater way for you than we have in the past. We've said it before, Lord, we really don't know what our lives hold for tomorrow, let alone a year. But we do begin this year by faith, asking you to help us to reach forth in our life to those things which are before us spiritually and individually and as a church. And so speak to us through this message, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Reaching forth, what do we need to do? He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul spoke of forgetting things. We said last week that we, you know, as we get older, it's easy to forget things. Somebody says, you know, that when you get older, there's three things that happen. And you start to lose your memory, and I forget the other two. Right? The memory, it starts to go. We forget things that we thought we knew, and we forget those things. What was Paul talking about here? Forgetting those things which are behind. Surely he wasn't speaking of forgetting everything he had learned and everything he had done and all the experiences of his life, just totally obliterating from them from his memory. But there are many things that he could be referring to. And, you know, as I thought of what do we need to forget as Christians? But I really wanted to focus on the text before us tonight. And I think there's some things that here, a couple of things that Paul mentioned specifically that we need to forget, that he was referring to when he said forgetting those things which are behind. I believe he was speaking about forgetting fleshly confidence or confidence in the flesh. You notice how he begins the chapter in Philippians chapter 3, and early in the chapter anyway. He says in verse 4, I might have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he may trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But though what things were gained to me, those I counted loss, for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. So what is he saying here? He says, forgetting those things which are behind. Here, he says, the things were gained, those I counted loss. Forget about the fleshly confidence. Forget about the confidence in the flesh. If there was anyone who could be self-confident, this guy right here that wrote these words, Paul. He says, I've got a pedigree that as a Jew is the best I could have. He could have walked into any synagogue as a Jew and been received and respected because of who he was and what he had accomplished in life. Because of who he was. He could have had that confidence in the flesh. After the Damascus Road conversion that he had, he became a zealous Christian. And as a Christian, he could have gone into any church, most of which he'd probably been instrumental in starting. He could have gone into any church and they would have said, Paul, come on in. We've got Paul here tonight. Paul the apostle. Paul, the one who's done so much for the Lord. And Paul would have been welcomed into the pulpit of many, if not all, the churches of his day. At least those who were standing for the truth. No doubt people would have loved to have him come because of who he was. His personal accomplishments could have taken him places. And actually they did take him places, didn't they? Before he got saved, they took him many places. He was ascending the ranks, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, studying under Gamaliel. They had taken him places, his human credentials. But he says, I choose not to place any confidence in those things, forgetting those things which are behind. In 1 Corinthians 2:4, he says that his speech wasn't with enticing words of man's wisdom. It could have been. But he said that's not what it was. He said it was in the demonstration of the Spirit and power because he wanted people to trust in the Lord, not in him. So he said, forgetting the confidence in the flesh. We may have blue blood, so to speak. We may have a good education. We may be naturally outgoing. We may have many formidable attributes, and there's no doubt that God can use those things in our life. But if we are relying on those things to help us reach forth spiritually, we'll fall flat. We need to forget those things which are behind in that we don't depend on them to get us where we need to be before the Lord spiritually. Oh yes, God will use those things in our life. Of course, He brings us through experiences that will help us to relate to people and minister to people. But we cannot depend on our flesh. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. We must remember that it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 9:23 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which execute loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Forgetting those things, forgetting the dependence on the flesh, that takes a conscious effort. Paul said, "I do count them but dung." I could easily trust them. And if you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 there, and when he talks about how he'd been seeing great things, he says those things would tempt to exalt me above measure. And that's why God gave him the thorn in the flesh, to bring him back down to earth, so to speak. But so here he says, "I'm making a conscious effort to forget the flesh and what it's accomplished in the sense of me reaching forth as a Christian." We need to realize it's not the things that we are or that we have done that make us usable. It's God who makes us usable. The story is told of a young Scottish preacher who was quite self-confident, and he literally bounded up the steps into the pulpit one Sunday, filled with self-esteem. Unfortunately, he lost his way in the middle of his address, became quite confounded and forgot his message. As he came down from the pulpit, humiliated, an old Scottish elder who had been present in the church that morning said to him, "Young man, if you'd gone up the way you came down, you may have come down the way you went up." You know, if we rely on our flesh, we're going to fall flat. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. John the Baptist said to the Jews who thought to make themselves great because of who they were, "Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Remember Samson? Samson relied on the flesh, didn't he? He went out and he lived the way he lived, and he lived in defiance, really, of the way God told him to live as a Nazarite who'd taken the Nazarite vow. And the Bible says that when he had his hair cut, he went out as before. How had he gone out before? Thinking, "I've got this. I don't need anything else. It's me. I'm strong." But he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. What happened? "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." That's no problem. Oh, but it was a problem that day. Why? Because the flesh couldn't deliver him in that situation. We need to trust the Lord. As long as we are full of ourselves, God cannot fill us and use us. So we need to forget confidence in the flesh. We need to forget past peaks. See, what do you mean by past peaks? Well, those great experiences where we think, "This is it. I have arrived." Often we're guilty of thinking that we have arrived. We've reached a certain level of Christianity that we think, "This is it. This is all there is. I've made it to the plateau." But Paul, in our text, said, "I count all things but loss. I forget those things which are behind." Paul must have seen and accomplished some tremendous things. Can you imagine what it would be like to be caught up to the third heaven and hear voices that weren't even normally heard? That's what he said it happened to him in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Heard unspeakable words. He traveled on numerous missionary journeys. He healed people. He performed miracles. He converted, or was used of the Lord to convert, hundreds, maybe thousands of people to the Lord. He was stoned and left for dead, got up and shook the dust off and walked away. How is that possible? God had his hand in Paul's life. He saw people get baptized. He saw many churches established. He led a team of people from place to place preaching, and great things were done. Paul, we could say, "Man, this is it. This is all there is to the Christian life. I have arrived. I have made it." This is the pinnacle of the Christian life. But what did he say? He said, not as though I had already attained, either already perfect. He said, this isn't perfection. I'm not perfect. He says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Did he forget the victories that have been wrought? Did he forget the people who he'd met and led to Christ? No. Because sometimes he would write to them in the epistles and he would say, I have you in my heart constantly. I remember you without ceasing in my prayers. He didn't forget the people. He didn't forget what had taken place. But he didn't think of that as being, I've arrived because look what I did. He said, forget about that. That just gives me inspiration to keep on going and to see more. I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. Past victories and times of nearness to the Lord are precious memories, but they don't mean that we've arrived. Rather, they should spur us on to look for more. It's not that we completely forget what God did or that what we have done, but we can't cling to them and live in the past. You know, some miss the blessings and opportunities of today and fail to strive for the opportunities of tomorrow because we're too busy living in the good old days that were past. But Paul said, that's not the way I'm going to do it. Forgetting those things which are behind, I'm going to reach forth unto those things which are before. Israel remembered the leeks and the garlics of Egypt, but what did it do? It drew them back there rather than driving them forward to the milk and honey of Canaan. The greater things, the reaching forth, the things that press forward too. And so to reach forth, we must forget the fleshly confidence, or we must forget the past peaks, but we must follow. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. But in verse 12, he says, I follow after. I haven't attained, but I follow after. To replace the past, Paul said, I'm keeping on going. To follow after indicates that it's something that we are doing now that we want to continue to do. Because following after, it's a pursuit. It's an ongoing situation. It's not, well, I'm going to go a few miles and then stop. He says, I'm following after. I'm going to carry on reaching forward. Following after Christ. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul, don't you know Christ? We say, do you know the Lord as your Savior? Did Paul know the Lord? Yes, he knew the Lord in that way, of course. He had met the Lord on the Damascus Road, and he met the Lord and knew the Lord personally and spoke often of fellowshipping with the Lord, praying and being used of the Lord. But he said, I want to know Christ. I'm following after Christ. I want to know him more. What did Jesus call people to do when he called them during his earthly ministry? Remember what he said to Peter and James and John? And Andrew, follow me. Follow me. He didn't say, go and do this and go and do that. He said, follow me. We said this morning in the message that God goes before. We said that Jesus is the good shepherd, and the shepherd leads his sheep and they follow him. Jesus said to Matthew at the receipt of custom, follow me. Jesus said to follow him was to deny self. And that's exactly what Paul was doing here. He says, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm following Christ. How concerned are we about following Christ? So often we follow after the things of this life because they are visible to us. We see them and they're appealing to us. But Paul said, my focus is not on the things of this life. My focus is on following Christ. It would be a great thing, wouldn't it, to make it a goal in 2018 to follow Christ more than ever before. Follow him. Follow after him. So follow after Christ, but also follow after the prize. He said in verse 13, he said, he reached forth those things which were before. And then verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Olympics are coming up, I like watching the Olympics. I like watching sports. I'm not a big fan of demonstration sports, I have to be honest. I like sports that have a finish line and it's the fastest person to get there that wins the prize. That's what they're looking for. That's what they're training for. That's what they're going towards. And I don't mean to offend anyone who believes in demonstration sports. That's fine. I'm just saying I like to think of somebody reaching for the prize, or that goal, that finish line, to say that's where I got to get. I've got to get there first. Paul had a prize in mind. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize, what prize was that? The prize of Christ-likeness. I want to be like Christ. I follow Him because I'm pressing towards, I'm following on after the prize. If we follow Christ's life, if we pattern ourselves like His life, we will become like Him. Paul said, I follow after, I'm following Christ because I want to be like Him. I want to be like Christ. What would Jesus do is the little slogan, the WWJD that came from that book, In His Steps. Charles Sheddon, I believe, wrote many years ago. The thought is, what would Jesus do in this situation? How would you know that? Study Jesus' life. Follow Christ, and you'll get to know what Jesus would do. And Paul said, I want to be like Christ. You realize that one day we will be like Him because we'll see Him as He is. 1 John 3:2 tells us. Romans 8:29 says we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. We are referred to as Christians. We refer to ourselves as Christians, believers in Jesus Christ. But if we look in the Bible, the term Christian was actually a label assigned to people. Why do you suppose they had that label assigned to them? Because they were like Christ. People said they are like that Jesus that we'd heard about, that we knew about. And they called them Christians in Antioch in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. A label given from the outside, not a name chosen, but someone that people said, they are like Christ. Paul said, I want to be like Christ. The prize of perfection was also what he strived for, because he says, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Perfection. Well, it's no surprise that perfection would be the goal if Christ is our example, because He is perfect, He was perfect, He is perfect, and if we would be like Him, one day we will, when we stand before Him, then obviously perfection is also the goal. Paul wasn't interested in trying to impress God with his own righteousness. That's what he says in verse 10. Not to be found in mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but with the righteousness of Christ. That's the righteousness I want. That perfect righteousness. He longed for the day when he would be truly perfect. Say, but Paul, he was such a great man. Yeah, but Romans chapter 7 says, Paul wrestled with the flesh just like we do. And he longed for the day when he would be like his Lord, like his Savior. Some Christians use the phrase that Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. And it is true. We're not perfect, and we are forgiven. But the goal of every Christian ought not to be that, to use that excuse, but to become perfect. Not that we'll ever be perfect fully in this life, but we should have a goal of sinning less, as we've said in messages before. What is the prize you are following after? Paul said, the prize is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That I would be like Christ. That I would be perfect like Him. Follow after Christ. Follow after the prize and follow the pattern. In verse 16, he says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which so walk as ye have us for an example. Whereto ye have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. You know, the things that we have learned, we're not to forget them, the things of the Word of God. We're to keep them in mind, because they will help us to walk right. If you remember the things that you learned in your Bible and the things that God has taught you through His Word, that will help you to stay on the right track. Paul told them back in verse number 1, he said, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. So I'm going to keep reminding you about things because I want you to get to know them, because I want you to walk by that rule. I want you to follow that rule, follow that path. Peter said, as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to stir up your minds by way of remembrance in 2 Peter 1, verse 13. David said a young man would cleanse his way by heeding the word. How many people today want something new? Not satisfied with the tried and true paths, and they say, give me something new. I want to do something new. And yes, I know technology changes and those kind of things. I think we should use them. We do, and we probably will continue through that perhaps in a greater way. And all those things, we can use different methods, but there are different means. But we got to realize that we got to stick with the same book, the same doctrine, the same truth. We may present it with different media formats, but we got to carry on using the same thing. We can't abandon what we've learned. When Paul said, forgetting those things which are past, he didn't say, just forget everything you learned and just go out and try something different. No, he says, let's walk by the same rule. Let's mind the same thing. God said to Israel in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, that they should ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way that would bring rest for their souls, but they said, we will not. It's a sad thing, isn't it, when Christianity says, well, just forget about all those old means and things, and we'll just do it however. We'll just go with the flow. No, God says, let's follow the book and carry on with the things that we've learned. We need to grow in them, yes. There are new things to try as technology and things change, but there are some things that aren't up for negotiation. We need to stick with the tried and true Word of God that David said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy law. Follow those who've gone before. Verse 17, be followers together of me and mark them which so walk, as you have us for an example. Paul said, listen, you've got to follow after these things. You've got to reach forth, get some good examples in your life and follow them. Follow the example that they are setting before you. Hebrews 13:7 says, to obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves to them. And realize verse 7 and 17 are very similar, but they speak about following their faith of those who have spoken unto you the word of God. With this phrase, considering the end of their conversation. Where's their life headed? Before you choose your hero to follow, check where their life is headed. Considering the end of their conversation, Paul said, mark them which so walk as you have us for an example. Find some good examples in your life that will help you to follow the Lord and to follow after Christ and to stay in the right track. If we fail to follow the pattern we have learned, we may end up shipwrecked, as he talks about in verse 18. Many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. What did they do? They said, forget the old stuff, forget the old ways, forget about following Paul and his ways. We're good. We'll just go our own way. Paul said it broke his heart, made him cry. To reach forth, we need to forget, we need to follow, but we also need to have faith. The word for reaching forth means to stretch oneself forward. As we spoke a few minutes ago about an athlete, you can picture the Winter Olympics coming up. I guess picture that skier coming down the hill and reaching to get across that finish line within that hundredths of a second or thousandths of a second faster than the person who was there before. Or running a marathon, running a race, and you see them, they stretch forward. Why? They want to cut that band across first or get across that line with their body, they're stretching themselves forward to get the prize, to win the race. In our lives, reaching forth is an action that takes faith. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see, we need to have faith to reach forth. Because reaching forth is looking to tomorrow, and we don't know tomorrow. But we reach forth by faith in the God who has tomorrow in His hand. And we say, listen, I'm going to let go of the past, and I'm going to press forward. But it has to be by faith, because we don't know. We know what was yesterday, but we don't know what's tomorrow. It takes faith to reach forth. It's more comfortable to stick with what we know, like we said at the beginning, than to reach forth. But there are times when we need to step out by faith and do more. You know, it takes faith to do something we haven't done before. The Lord puts on our heart to do something in some way of serving Him, or and we're getting involved, and we say, I don't know that I can do that. The Lord says, this is what I want you to do. We step out by faith. It takes faith to do that. We may have to go outside of our comfort zone as we reach forth. You say, we said at the beginning, we need to forget confidence in the flesh. You know, we could say, I've done this many times before. I've been pastoring here for 15 and a half years, and I could say, well, I've stood up behind the pulpit and preached a bunch of sermons before, so I'll just throw something together and stand behind the pulpit and preach the message. That would be foolish. But you know, the first time that I stood behind a pulpit and preached a message, it wasn't me. It wasn't the way I pictured myself. That wasn't the goal that I had in life, to be a public speaker, because I'm not an outgoing person by nature. But I had to say, if this is what God has prepared for me to do, then it's going to put me outside my comfort zone. And I have to reach forth by faith in God to use me, because if He's the one that's called me to do it, then He has a purpose for me in doing it. It doesn't matter how many times I have stood behind this pulpit, I still cannot take it for granted and just say, oh, I've done it before, I can do it again. I still need the same power of the same God to bring the same kind of messages that God wants me to bring forth. I often pray, God, I cannot stand behind that pulpit and preach anything less than what You want me to preach. I can't do it. It would be foolish. It would be a waste of time. Yours and mine. But we have to rely upon the Lord. We have to trust the Lord. And we have to sometimes push ourselves by faith to reach forth in our knowledge and application of the Word of God in our life. Sometimes we say, but I like doing those things that God is showing me that I shouldn't be doing like that anymore. I don't know that I can live the way God has called me to live by His Word, but we step out and we say, but that's the way God wants me to do it, and I want to follow the Lord. It's by faith. To reach forth with the gospel, to many of us, is intimidating. To go and talk to somebody about the Lord, or to bring up the topic of salvation, it's an intimidating thing, but God presses upon us to do that. We need to reach forth. We need to say, Lord, I can't do this of myself, but You can help me. To reach forth in our giving. What does it say about the Macedonian believers? To their power, and yea, beyond their power, they gave. First of themselves, and then of their things. How did they do that? They reached forth, they stretched forth by faith in God. To reach forth in our service, to say, I don't know if I could play an instrument. I don't know if I could teach a Sunday school class. I don't know that I could walk down and pray in front of people or usher. I don't know that I could stand behind a pulpit and teach or preach or do those things. I don't know that I could do that. But if God is opening up the door and God is opening up the way, we got to stretch forth, press forth, reach forth by faith. To put ourselves out there takes faith, doesn't it? Because we may fall flat on our face, like we said about that young man who went up to the pulpit full of himself and thought, I got this. But it takes faith, because it's different when you're up there than when you think about doing it. When you're out there than when you think about doing it, giving out the gospel, when you're giving, you're serving, whatever it is, it's different. And you say it's going to take faith to do that because I don't think I can do it myself. It's going to take faith in our purpose. At the end of the chapter, he says, our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our conversation is in heaven. That's what we got to remember. It's faith. Our way of life, our manner of life, our destiny is heaven. Our citizenship is out of this world. We're to reach forth because there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and people need to know that. We're to reach forth because our conversation is in heaven. Faith in the God of creation. Faith in the God who is able to do all things. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian believers, we are fools for Christ's sake. Why were they willing to be made fun of and laughed at for Christ's sake? Because their conversation was in heaven. The world doesn't understand our motivation for stretching ourselves and reaching forth for the Lord. Because their conversation is not in heaven, but ours is. And so therefore, it is faith in our purpose. So reaching forth, we need to forget the confidence in the flesh, forget the past peaks as far as living back there. We need to follow after Christ and follow after the prize and follow the pattern that God has given to us in His Word. And by faith, we need to reach forth and remember our purpose. Picture those athletes reaching forth, stretching themselves to press to get that goal. And think of our Christian life. Yeah, a lot easier for that athlete to stay in athlete's village and get some rest and eat some food and take it easy. It's a lot easier to sit in an armchair and criticize or to coach from the armchair at home than it is to be out there on the track or on the field. It's a lot easier to sit in church and sit in the pew and say, well, let's just carry on with what we've been doing before and I'll just stay in my little comfortable spot. But if we are to advance as individuals in our faith and knowledge of Christ, if we are to go forward as a church, we need to individually say, I am going to reach forth unto the things which are before. It's going to take some forgetting, some following, and some faith. But I tell you this, when we stand before the Lord, I think we'll be glad that we did. We're going to reach forth in 2018. May God help us to do so. Let's pray together.